Greetings in the name of our Lord. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be ever with you. Again, this is David Borger, retired Baptist minister and member of First United Methodist Church of Avon Park, acting as the transitional leader until the coming of our new pastor the first Sunday in July. The message you hear today is for the fifth Sunday of Easter, which is also labeled Mother's Day on your calendar. I did a little research on Mother's Day, and it goes back to, believe it or not, a Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia, where the first formal Mother's Day service was held on May 10th, 1908. Mother's Day was started by the means and efforts of a woman named Anna Jarvis, who was in awe of her mother's service and leadership in trying to develop Mother's Friendships Days to help bring this country together again after the Civil War and all its tragedy. Mrs. Jarvis had held her family together while her husband was away at war and took leadership for the family when her husband was out of the picture. Miss Anna Jarvis, in trying to recognize the work and love and concern and care that her mother shared, and seeing that that was true of so many women, mothers, around her, sought to have a day established for celebrating those who have nurtured us in life's journey. And she worked and strove to convey this idea, and her church in West Virginia, where her mother had been a member for a number of years and had even taught in the Sunday school, celebrated that first Mother's Day, May 10th of 1908. The newspapers and other churches got wind of this, and so there was a movement developed so that by 1914, on the 9th of May, President Wilson signed a proclamation declaring that the second Sunday in May would be established as Mother's Day from thus time forward. Now, next month, we'll talk to you about the varied history of Father's Day. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. O loving Lord our God, you who see us through this and every challenge and development of life, be with us as we seek again to enter into the fullness of work and business and social affairs, that the strictures and limitations of the recent virus may soon fade from our minds and memories to the extent that we can enjoy the harmony and fellowship of being with God's people once more. Help us to know in our hearts that you see us through this and every challenge of life, that your love will sustain us, and your wisdom will equip us for every future emergency, even as so many work together to provide for our needs in this current situation. We continue to ask and share our prayers for all those who serve and provide for us on the front lines, for health, for services, for comfort, for the basics of life, that all of them may be appreciated for the ways in which they have gone over and above, putting self at risk so that we wouldn't have to. May your love strengthen them and give them joy and blessing for the work that they do, even as they continue to serve as a part of your people. We join our hearts together again in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, reading verses 1 through 14. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." And one of the 12, Thomas, said to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Now another of the 12, Philip, said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." Thus ends this reading of God's holy word. The setting is what we call the Last Supper. Jesus is seeking to prepare the disciples for the time when he will no longer be with them. They're seeing the coming Passover and are looking forward to celebrating one of the great Jewish holidays. Jesus sees on the horizon that garden scene where he will be betrayed and arrested and tried and led outside the city to that ugly cross where he will be crucified. The disciples don't yet know what's going to happen, but Jesus knows, and he's trying to prepare them even now, both for what they will experience in the next few hours and what God has in store for them when the weekend is ended. The chaos in their minds is coming, but the confidence in Christ's mind sees through the chaos to the comfort, the joy, and the victory that God holds forth for him and for all of us. We take comfort in Jesus' words that Christ cares for each of us too, that there is a place for us beyond this lifetime, that Christ, who loves us now, will love us into that coming kingdom as we share with him our hearts and our lives. Now, the Jewish people had an understanding of heaven that differs a little bit from some of us. Their understanding of heaven was that basically you were going to be going from this world and the groups you enjoyed to the next world and be in a similar group. That basically the rich and the comfortable would be in their version of heaven, and those who were less fortunate would have sort of a second-rate bargain basement heaven to dwell in. But in the words of Jesus, as we look into the meaning of the Greek words, Jesus is saying there is one place and only one place, and all whom God welcomes will be part of it, that there is room for all, that we're not going to have to go through some kind of trial or purging time or place, such as the old Roman Catholic understanding of purgatory, that as Jesus said to the criminal on the cross with him, today you will be with me in paradise, that the sins and the problems and the weaknesses and the frailty and the horrors of this world will be shed as we enter into God's perfection in God's presence in heaven. Thomas tries to picture the place where Jesus is going as some kind of geographic destination. And so Thomas basically saying, Lord, where's the roadmap? How do we get where you're going? And Jesus tries to explain to him, it's not a place. It's a purpose. It's not a destination. It's a new way of looking and living in life. And the way to find that place is to look at me. For it is not a map that will lead you there, but myself. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you follow me, you will be where God wants you to be when your time on this earth is over. Now, Philip asks the question that all of us do. Lord, it'd be so much easier to believe you if we could see the Father. And Jesus very patiently says to him, Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you still don't get it. If you want to see the Father, look at who the Father has sent. I model in my life, in my way of living and treating each of you and all whom we meet, the way God wants to treat his children for all time. If you want to know what God looks like, look at me. My life will demonstrate what life with God is going to be like. The disciples are still in the dark. When they exit that room and head for the garden for that time of prayer, they'll still be shocked by the events of the coming evening. But hopefully for them, as for us, the words of Jesus will give us courage and confidence when we have those times of doubting, that we can see beyond the moment, we can see beyond the fear or the threat to the future that God holds before us. A life lived with him, a joy complete and beyond human measure, the ability to be all things in the Christ who made us. Jesus' time on this earth was coming to a close, but the work that he was sent to do is just beginning in the hearts and lives of those who had spent that much time with him. And we, like the disciples, still have questions every day as to where we're going and what is the Father like. but in studying God's word, in having a deep and meaningful prayer life with our Lord daily, we'll get to know who God is through the blessings of Christ's love and the wonder of Christ's glory. May you, on this day of celebrating mothers, celebrate not just the ones who gave you birth, but the one also who gives you life. That the joy and wonder of God's creation may be complete, and all God's people may know his love. Let us pray. O great and holy God, O Redeemer and Giver of life, look into our hearts. Banish the fear, banish the worry, banish the worry, the inability to forgive ourselves, that in all things your love might triumph, and through us your life will be revealed to all. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. End.